It is Friday, June 1st, 2012. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Support for KUAF comes from the Malco Theater's Kids Summer Film Fest, beginning June 5th and continuing through August 1st each Tuesday and Wednesday morning at 10. Seating is limited, so early arrival recommended. The Malco Kids Summer Film Fest schedule and more information available at malco.com. Support also comes from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, hosting American Encounters, Thomas Cole and the Narrative Landscape, through August 13th. The exhibit features six paintings of distinctive style, influences, and impact on other American artists. The exhibition is part of a multi-year collaboration with Crystal Bridges, the Louvre, and others. More information is available online at crystalbridges.org. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, reports from inside the Walmart shareholders meeting at Bud Walton Arena. Jacqueline Froelich talked with people who have traveled to Fayetteville to let their opinions about the world's largest retailer be known. Ithi Agnihotri-Madolkar is inside. She'll tell us about the spectacle that is the meeting. And later, John Schlois reports in from that other big event this weekend, Wakarusa. First, there was star power at this morning's annual Walmart shareholders meeting at Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville. Singers Lionel Richie, Justin Timberlake, and Celine Dion greeted the thousands in attendance before the votes on a variety of issues were taken. We'll have more from the meeting in a few minutes on Ozarks. The U.S. Department of Agriculture plans to close 9 offices serving farmers in Arkansas. The state's congressional delegation is working to stop or delay the closings. Michael Hiblin from our partner station KUAR in Little Rock has this report.
Congressman Rick Crawford is pushing a bill that would temporarily block the closing of the Farm Service Agency offices and have future closings based on each office's workload. Arkansas has 61 FSA offices, and officials say budget cuts and staff reductions necessitate closing 9 of them. Farmers in affected areas would still be eligible for USDA assistance, but would be assigned to offices in different counties. Senator Mark Pryor issued a statement saying he was disappointed by the announcement, and while he agrees there must be a reduction in spending, said it should be done in a smart, consistent, and objective manner. He also said he is seeking alternatives to the office closings. In Little Rock, I'm Michael Hiblin.
The Rogers Municipal Airport will receive more than $140,000 in federal money to upgrade the taxiway there. Arkansas's congressional delegation announced the grant yesterday, saying that Carter Field's taxiway has reached the end of its useful life. In all, 5 airports in Arkansas will be given about $1.6 million for upgrades. The cooler temperatures are expected to continue tonight in the region. The National Weather Service says there is a 20% chance of showers tonight, with lows between 50 and 55. Highs tomorrow are expected to be in the upper 70s in northwest Arkansas, lower 80s for the Arkansas River Valley. The lineup for the third edition of Walton Arts Center's 10x10 series is now set. The venue released the schedule this morning. Highlights of the discounted performance series included an October concert by the Tokyo String Quartet and a January appearance by Cedar Lake Contemporary Ballet. The baseball Razorbacks will open play in the NCAA tournament this afternoon, playing Sam Houston State at 1 in Houston. Arkansas is the number 2 seed in the 4-team regional, Sam Houston State the 3rd seed. It's a double elimination event, and the winning team will advance to next weekend's Super Regionals. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals will seek a win tonight in Rockland, Texas. Last night, the Nats dropped their second consecutive one-run decision to the Rockhounds and are now 3 games out of first in the Texas League North standings. And the University of Arkansas men's basketball team is adding a high-profile opponent to the next season's schedule. This morning, the athletic department announced the Razorbacks would host Syracuse in November as part of a challenge series between SEC and Big East schools. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Walmart is the world's largest retailer, and they put on quite a show for their annual shareholders meeting. This year's session comes as the company celebrates its 50th anniversary. And it also comes in the shadow of serious allegations of bribery by Walmart officials in Mexico. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has been covering Shareholders Week. She is on the top floor of Bud Walton Arena right now. Jackie, what's the mood been like for this shareholders meeting?
You know, it's celebratory as always. I've covered a bunch of these, but this year it's not as golden, given it's Walmart's 50th anniversary at Bud Walton Arena here, and it's usually a giant love fest with only a smattering of protesters perennially upset about what they claim are low wages and, you know, lousy benefits and pressured working conditions. But this year's Jubilee, as many people know, has been shadowed by allegations that the world's largest retailer uses corrupt practices to push growth in foreign countries. So protesters, I found here, they're organized and they're here, and they've latched onto that opportunity to rally support after the New York Times broke that story last April about Walmart de Mexico executives allegedly paying out something like $24 million over several years to fixers to get stores built. So, you know, it is part of the complaint by protesters here is that the Bentonville office allegedly turned back any investigation to Mexican authorities and Mexican executives. Turns out they allegedly may have authorized the bribe. So it's, but it is kind of a Byzantine and necessary evil in certain foreign countries, and the matter was closed. That was back in 2005, but now it's surfaced, and so protesters are coming forth, and, you know, we reported when the story broke, in a statement issued in response to that, spokesperson David Tovar said they were deeply concerned by the allegations and were working aggressively to determine what happened. You know, and there's 209,000 employees in Mexico. They have a ton of stores there. It's the jewel of Walmart, and they're very proud of that. And there's lots of Mexican associate shareholders here, and they're very excited to be here and very enthusiastic. But in the meantime, the Department of Justice and U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission are investigating Walmart. And the company has said things this week about the scandal. I attended a media conference. They host a media conference every shareholders gathering. And Walmart, Doug McMillon, president and CEO of Walmart International, said this.
To the investigation that's ongoing. We're committed to it being independent and thorough, and that's all I can say about that. But relative to compliance going forward, we're trying to seize this opportunity to get even stronger in compliance across the board, including FCPA, but also to include other areas. For example, in China, food safety is very important. How do we get even better at that? So a moment like this causes you to be on your toes and look for opportunities to get even stronger anywhere that you can, and that's what our objective is. I'm not expecting any impact as it relates to new store growth. We'll see. Only time will tell.
That was Doug McMillon earlier this morning. You've also talked to some people who have shown up in Fayetteville to voice displeasure, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, the scandal's angered shareholders who are campaigning to bar Walmart president and CEO Mike Duke, who was head of international operations for Walmart at the time, then president and CEO and current board member H. Lee Scott, as well as board chair Rob Walton. You know, groups like Making Change at Walmart are here, and they're supported by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union and its sister group comprised of Walmart employees, associates, Our Walmart, have organized dissent in recent months. And we reported, you know, how these union-backed groups have morphed and merged over the years and represent millions of meatpacking, healthcare, garment, chemical, distillery, and retail industry workers. But I met with a campaign coordinator from UFCW union here in town. She deferred me to the associates, although I got her on the record. And I met with a half dozen key Our Walmart employee shareholders who managed to get in a proxy item on the ballot, which is astonishing, basically asking for, disclosure of company compensation given pressed working conditions and lack of return on investment to workers. You know, and Jackie Golden was on the floor today, and she's a 24-year associate with Walmart from store 1167 in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And this is what she had to say.
We feel that the senior executives are getting these huge bonuses that they really aren't deserving of. Our stock has not performed well consistently over the last 10 years. It was a good investment for a lot of years. It's not been so much anymore. So, we want to hold those executives accountable as to what makes them feel they are entitled to being rewarded for poor performance standards.
So the proxy was introduced. Was it adopted?
The thing about proxy statements, some dissenting proxy statements are issued every year. These proxy statements, for the first time since I've been covering it, got applause. These dissenting proxy statements never get applause. This one got big applause, and I'll play some of that applause in her Jackie Gable's comment tonight. But of course, it's very difficult to pass any dissension because they represent only a smattering, again to use that word, of the girth needed to pass any proxy measure, because the Walton family, Walton Enterprises, controls nearly 50% of a total $3.4 billion shares. But, Kyle, the bottom line, most everyone is very happy to be here. The company lets stores choose shareholders, and there's 5,000 shareholders represented. There's 10,000 companies worldwide, and the company pays for them to come here and to eat and drink and listen to great music and to party. And Walmart is doing great. I mean, they're celebrating that downstairs right now. Fiscal year 2012, they netted $15.7 billion, which is a record, and then returned $11.3 billion to shareholders, so they're celebrating that. It's a mixed bag, but it's mostly ebullient. People are excited. You have to give credit to the executives. They are bringing up the issue. They're not trying to hide it. They are addressing it. Mike Duke, in closing, he said he just told shareholders that he will not accept anything less than integrity. There's no gray area between right and wrong, and they are dedicated to compliance and will cooperate with the investigation, and then they'll take appropriate action. That last part, however, has analysts and those who, purveyors of Walmart really wondering what that will mean. Who's
just
gonna
what
get fired?
Does that mean? Yes.
Yeah, what, and no one knows. But, 14,000 shareholders are here, 9,000 shareholders and 5,000 associates are here to celebrate the golden anniversary. And I think Justin Timberlake is the host, and he's fantastic. He's so funny.
Okay, well, best of luck navigating your way through those 23,000 people and all those cars to get back here. Jackie, thank you
so
much.
All right, you're welcome.
While many are paying attention to the business ends of things at the annual Walmart shareholders meeting, some just like to enjoy the spectacle, and reporting from inside Bud Walton Arena on the spectacle that is the Walmart shareholders meeting is our own Ithi Agnihotri-Madulkar. I believe, Ithi, you have found a relatively quiet place to talk to me from.
That is correct, Kyle. I'm sitting in the stairwell inside the Bud Walton Arena because the place is just packed. According to Walmart sources, there are about 14,000 people here, and that is 9,000 shareholders plus 5,000 associates from all over the world.
I know Justin Timberlake has been on stage there, Lionel Richie, and some other celebrities. It's been a celebrity-filled event again this year, right?
It's been super celebrity-studded all throughout the event. Justin Timberlake is actually emceeing the event. He hasn't performed yet, so there you go. And he introduced Broadway stars, Broadway star Victoria Matlock from the Million Dollar Quartet. Then the Zac Brown Band from Atlanta, Georgia performed. Juan Liss, a very, very popular Latin American singer, performed. And then they had a very special performance where they got performers from all over the world to perform in this single little piece. And then there was a flag march that followed the performance from all over the world. Now, I'll talk about the performances a little bit. Take Six, an a cappella group from the U.S. Then there was a salsa performance. Then there was a violinist from China, from South Africa, Ladysmith Black,
Mambazo,
the group performed, and then there was a flag march with associates from 27 countries carrying their flags, and that happened to the tune of What a Wonderful World.
If you live in Northwest Arkansas, you've been seeing visitors with their Walmart badges and vests all week. They've been shuttling them up to Crystal Bridges, haven't they?
Yes, they have. This week has all been about, making the Walmart associates from all over the world really happy, and kind of they've been exploring Northwest Arkansas. I know for sure that yesterday morning the associates had a tour of Crystal Bridges. They viewed and toured the museum. Also, throughout this week, I've been seeing, every time I drove to work this week, I saw Walmart associates, probably not from this region, I'm guessing, getting their photos clicked in front of the tiniest Walmart on the planet here on Garland Avenue in Fayetteville.
As Jackie reported earlier, there has been some concern over the allegations of bribery in Mexico. On the other hand, stock prices are up as the shareholders come to this meeting. Have you had a chance to talk to any of the people inside? Did they let you get access to the feeling of what people think about either the stock prices or the allegations of bribery?
Had a chance to talk to people inside the building, because as we got here, the program had already started, and the associates were in their places all around the arena. But every time the allegations were mentioned, there were sounds of people booing, and if an associate who was talking on the mic was bringing up the issue, there were people cheering him or her on.
So the bribery scandal has been brought up from people behind the microphone on the stage?
That is correct. So when the voting started, about half an hour into the program, when the voting was about to start, Rob Walton did mention that there might be some interruptions because of the Walmart Mexico bribery allegations that have been looming over the shareholders meeting for a very, very long time now. As soon as, three associates were asked to introduce the proposals, and all three of them raised the issue of Walmart Mexico operations, the bribery scandal, and they did express their concern over it. They did mention that they were disappointed at the top administration of the company about what they were doing to deal with these allegations and had they responded properly or not to them. So there have been those concerns, and while these associates were talking about the allegations, people were cheering them on. People wanted them to talk about these allegations. People also booed once or twice. I heard that. And when you felt that the top executives weren't listening, that's when people booed.
It is an international event. Not everybody, I imagine, inside Bud Walton Arena has English as a first language or speaks English. Is there any sort of way that non-English speakers can understand what's going on stage?
Yes, Kyle, Walmart has arranged for 10 translators who will translate anything that is said on stage to non-English speaking associates. And these associates will be wearing special headsets, and the languages include Hindi, Spanish, Chinese, and Japanese. And also, this year is a little special because of course, it's the 50th anniversary, but Walmart also recently acquired Massmart in South Africa, and we have a large population of South African associates here inside the Bud Walton Arena. So that's pretty special, and we've heard a lot of noise from the South African associates. We've been hearing a lot of noise from Sam's Club associates, so it's been fun.
You say a lot of noise from the South African shareholders and associates. By any chance, any vuvuzelas in there?
Oh!
Really?
Yes.
World Cup all over again.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Ithi Agnihotri-Madolkar is in a stairwell at Bud Walton Arena during the Walmart shareholders meeting. Ithi, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kyle.
You know that strange feeling you've got now, that kind of tingling on your skin? It's called warmth. And that bright light in the sky, it's the sun. It's summer, and Wait Wait is here with a special guide to summer. Gary Oldman and Simon Pegg talk summer movies. Cal Ripken Jr. talks baseball. And our panelists have great ideas for summer camp. It's the news quiz that will force you to relax. This week's Wait Wait Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait Wait Don't Tell Me, Sunday at noon on KUAF. Of course, the Walmart shareholders meeting, not the only big event taking place on this Friday throughout the KUAF listening area. On Mulberry Mountain, maybe 20,000 people are going to be gathered before the end of the weekend for Wakarusa. One of those 20,000 plus is our own John Schloss. John, how are you on this Friday?
I'm very, very well. A little chilly, but otherwise pretty good.
Well, I was going to ask, because in past years, Wakarusa has been known for this sort of very hot event with the sun boiling down. And as I was on my front porch last night in Fayetteville, I thought, I bet some people wish they had taken some blankets. Was it chilly last night?
Yeah, there were a lot of people at the concerts. I mean, there's different stages set up out throughout the festival grounds, and lots of them had blankets and were just bundled up together. It was about 54 last night. This morning, right now, it's about 60 degrees as people kind of shake themselves awake and shiver their way down into the campgrounds in their shorts. Some people didn't pack appropriately.
Well, it's not a music festival until you see someone who didn't pack appropriately, I think. Now, the crowd estimates are up to 20,000 people. I imagine the first night, Thursday night, is not as well as attended as the next three are going to be. Was that the case?
That's right. A lot of people are expected to come in today because most people can't attend festivals, you know, for the full entirety. They can only come in during the weekends when they get off work. So they're expecting a lot more people to come in. There's still main camping area. There's space. It's been sold out, but there's still some space in the main camping area.
Other than some people being a little bit colder than they expected, did everything go well for the festival for its first night?
As far as I can tell, there weren't too many screw-ups or technical glitches. You know, they have to turn these bands. Basically, they're setting up one band while the other one's finishing, and then it pretty much starts. There's really not much of a wait at some of these stages. I didn't see any issues. They erected a Ferris wheel this year, and last night, with Pretty Lights was playing at the main stage, they had a huge light performance. And the Ferris wheel also had a light performance going on, and it was quite a sight in the middle of the night.
Any idea whether you can tell how many people are from around this area and how many people are from perhaps outside of Arkansas?
I've been looking at license plates all day yesterday, and I see them from all over. Missouri, I see Arkansas, I see Indiana, I see Washington State, I see them all. It would be impossible to figure out how many people are from Fayetteville, but there's a lot of people from everywhere. I talked to some people yesterday from different areas, Dallas and Kansas City, that are actually at college in Hendrix.
Ah, in Conway. Well, it's a ticket price to get in, and you can spend up to hundreds of dollars to get in. But you ran into some people who are actually attending the concert, and they're doing it for free, right?
Yeah, they basically had to just submit a non-refundable $15 application fee. But other than that, they got into the concert, and well, they got into the festival for free. They had to put down a deposit of $220, and then they basically worked for 15 hours during the course of the festival at different departments, like picking up trash or helping people park. And if they work 15 hours, they get their deposit back, and they basically get to attend the concert and for free.
Well, last night from the media tent, you filed a story about these folks, and we'll hear that now. Thanks, John, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, thank you.
Wakarusa, the music festival at Mulberry Mountain near Ozark, is now in its fourth year at Arkansas. Tickets for the four-day event cost about $200 and don't even include camping or a parking spot. About 400 people avoid this cost and actually get into the festival for free with the camping and parking spot. What's their secret? They work for their ticket. It's part of a program called the Work Exchange Team, or WET. You can see many of the volunteers in the large crowds because they're wearing light blue WET t-shirts. The camping provided to those workers is in a secluded southwest corner of the festival grounds, behind two small ponds and on a dusty trail. The trail leads to the edge of a grove of trees that opens up to a large clearing full of bright red dirt and mud and rocks. This camping location isn't ideal, but it is included in their contract when they sign up to work. Main venue camping costs about $100 and is already sold out this year. I found Thomas Reed, a sophomore at Hendrix College, in the WET campsite. He explained the process of getting on the work exchange team.
Well, we just apply through the work exchange team, and they accept you, and then you have to put down a deposit, and then you just work, and you get a free ticket, and then if you complete all your hours, you get your deposit back.
The work exchange team is part of Shimon Presents out of Atlanta. Their mission is to provide a method for music fans to attend the festivals they want for free while also providing festivals a quality workforce. For Wakarusa, volunteers had to pay a non-refundable $15 application fee and put down a $220 deposit. If they work 15 hours, volunteers get their deposit back. I wandered over to the wet check-in booth, which is really like a barn. Volunteers were sitting on bales of hay and birds were flying around below the roof. There I found Kylie Dangerfield, a supervisor with WET. I asked her if it was common for volunteers to not show up for work.
It's, you know, their prerogative to not show up. They put down a deposit in the price of the ticket. So if they decide not to show up, they're essentially paying for the ticket and enjoying the festival. So we always plan ahead of time and use floaters. So in case people don't show up, we have extras and such. Yeah, I mean, it's broken into five-hour shifts. They can choose, like, the department they want to work in, friends they want to work with, and top three bands they don't want to miss. So we do a pretty good job of scheduling them around their needs.
Sometimes the hours are not very desirable. I asked Thomas Reed about his first shift this week.
It was directing people through parking in the South Gate, which is a couple miles down the road, and it was pretty boring.
When were you doing it?
From 10:45 p.m. to 9 a.m., so overnight, yeah.
With such terrible hours and a less-than-desirable camping area, I asked Reed why he decided to come to Wakarusa.
It's awesome. There's great music, great people, lots of fun stuff.
Another volunteer, Layla Rosen, who is also a student at Hendrix, said her first shift was a little bit longer than she expected.
I had a 12-hour shift, which I wasn't expecting. Part of it is, you know, you have to be flexible when they don't pick you up for 2 hours longer than they're supposed to, but, you know, you just roll with it and it's okay, so.
She didn't seem very upset working most of her hours in her first shift.
I think the biggest part of coming to a festival like this is just the atmosphere and the people. Everyone's just so laid back and, like, welcoming. I went to Bonnaroo with this one and this one last year, and we had an amazing time, but, like, we weren't really prepared camping-wise. We didn't have one of these big canopies, and I just wanted to have, like, that kind of experience again. But as a college student, I couldn't really, like, afford to keep going to music festivals, so the work exchange program is a really good way to do that.
Interested music fans can find more information about the work exchange team by visiting their website, workexchangeteam.com. For Ozarks at Large, on location at Mulberry Mountain, I'm John Schlois.
It is Friday. It is the first day of June 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Martin Brown. She is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And we have to say, how in the heck can it be June?
I knew as soon as I said it's the first day of June that you would have a problem with that.
I am, however, grateful that I will not be at Wakarusa. Don't take it personally, folks. It's just hot, dirty, and there are bugs.
Though it's not going to be as hot as it has been in the past.
That's true. And Kevin Kinder, our music writer for What's Up, is thrilled beyond words to be there. So if you're on your way or if you wish you were on your way, follow him on Twitter at What's Up or listen to NWA Tuned In or follow NWATunedIn.com. He'll be blogging. It'll be great. But back in civilization.
Yes.
We have other things to do. There's something cool or artsy or interesting or just plain weird going on all over our coverage area.
Well, let's
hear
about
it. So we're going by cities.
Okay.
Bentonville. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of their June Arts Fest. And this weekend is the Art Walk with more than 30 regional artists, including Zeke Taylor, who will have New Critters. Mm-hmm. It happens from 11:30 to 1 today and 4 to 9 tonight, and then 7 to 2 on Saturday on the Bentonville Square. And then coming up next is their culinary festival with special tastings and menu items at restaurants starting Monday through June 10th. And you can find out all about this in What's Up.
All right.
In Rogers, the headline, Ed McClure insists, has to be Liberals Behaving Badly.
Okay.
The play is called God of Carnage.
And God of Carnage is a comedy.
Yes. Okay, the title is supposed to refer to, like, survival in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the survival of the fittest. The premise is that two kids get in a playground fight, and the four parents get together to figure out a civilized way to handle this, and then they lose their minds, and it turns into huge, ugly silliness.
Wasn't James Gandolfini in the Broadway run of this? Yes.
Yes.
He, of course, Tony Soprano to most people.
One of the actors described it as somewhere between a reality TV show, a train wreck, and a roller coaster ride. Should be fun. It's 8 o'clock tonight, 2 o'clock, or 8 o'clock tonight and Saturday. I'm confused about what day it is. I'm sorry.
It's this whole June 1st thing.
It is. 8 o'clock today and tomorrow, 2 o'clock Sunday, and again June 7th through 10th at the Rogers Little Theater. And tickets are $10 to $45. The $45 obviously includes lots of food. 631-8988. In Springdale, the Just Plain Weird Monster Truck Super Series.
And this is different than Monster Truck Regular Series?
Yeah, I don't know. Monster trucks have not been something I've followed.
Do they go over cars? Do they crush cars?
There you go.
If you go to a monster truck show, that's what you want, right? You want to see them crush cars,
I
suppose.
I've driven cars that I would have donated, too. 7:30 today and tomorrow at Parsons Stadium in Springdale. Tickets start at $12 for children and $22 for adults. 756-0464 in Fayetteville. Jimmy Thackeray and the Drivers CD release party.
Ah.
6 to 8 o'clock today at George's Majestic Lounge. CDs will be available for
$20. Okay.
And another garden tour. You'd think we'd run out of gardens.
No, no. This is a garden-happy region.
Through the Garden Gate. Seven gardens in Goshen, Fayetteville, Springdale, Lowell, and Rogers. 9 to 4 on Saturday. Tickets are $15 at Westwood Gardens in Rogers, the Bank of Fayetteville on the Square, and at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, which is one of the recipients of the proceeds from the garden tour.
You had a nice piece this week in the living section.
Yes,
about
thank
one
you.
One of the gardens, yes.
And in Huntsville, it's War Eagle Appreciation Day.
Mm-hmm.
Withrow Springs State Park, canoeing at 9, a cookout, and music by Jed Clampett from 1 to 4.
And Withrow Springs is one of the underrated pieces of Northwest Arkansas.
Absolutely. And finally, in Fort Smith, Fort Smith Little Theater has a show opening called Black Comedy.
I think it's a black comedy.
It is.
Okay.
But I'm not really sure why it's a black comedy.
Mm.
The premise is that this couple are having a party with the aim of impressing someone, so they borrow the neighbor's furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And then the neighbor comes home and a fuse blows and the whole thing's in darkness, which I assume
must be what the black
is. Should be interesting. This weekend, showtime there is 8 o'clock, except on Sunday when it is 2:30. And I lied. There's one more.
Okay.
There's a craft show in Eureka Springs at Pine Mountain Village, 9 to 5.
So anywhere you go,
we've got you covered.
All right. Becca Martin Brown is features editor for Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Noah Stewart went to a performing arts school where his peers wanted to be pop singers, but not him.
That route was so much safer than opera, and I didn't see a tremendous amount of people of color in classical music and opera, and I thought, I'll try to make a contribution.
Noah Stewart on the risks and rewards of trying to make it big in opera, Sunday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition Sunday morning from 7 until 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM. Tomorrow afternoon, the Reynolds Cancer Support House in Fort Smith will take notice of National Cancer Survivors Day. It will be taking place from 1 until 4 at the Phoenix Mall in Fort Smith. And with me on the phone from her office in Fort Smith is the director of the Reynolds Cancer Support House, Michelle DeLauder. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Tell me about tomorrow afternoon's event. What will be happening there?
Well, this Saturday we have a huge event for cancer survivors, their families and friends. Basically, anyone who's been impacted by cancer in our community is welcome to come out and see us. We have free admission, games and shopping, door prizes, and refreshments available. We're going to do a welcome at 1 o'clock, and then at 2 o'clock we've got Dr. Gass coming and her crew to do a history of cancer skit. And then 3 o'clock we're going to recognize the survivors. Actually, Mayor Sandy Sanders is going to be there about 2:30, 2:40. So we're looking forward to a really great event tomorrow.
Why is it important, do you think, to have a day that recognizes cancer survivors?
Well, they say that 1 in 3 people are going to be impacted by cancer. it's just such a huge thing for our community. So many people have been touched by this. So we're going to have art out there from cancer patients around the nation through Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company has a traveling art show that's been done by cancer patients and caregivers, and they're just really phenomenal. So it gives people, it encourages people. It encourages current fighters to see others that have gone before them and that are still doing well and have lived a long time. You know, cancer is just not the death sentence that it used to be.
And the event is tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 4. It's a drop-in, correct?
Yes.
That's 1 to 4 tomorrow at the Phoenix Village Expo in Fort Smith. Michelle DeWalder is the director of the Donald W. Reynolds Cancer Support House in Fort Smith. Michelle, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. KUAF is proud to co-sponsor Walton Arts Center's Artisphere, Arkansas's Arts and Nature Festival, featuring the Artisphere Festival Orchestra June 17th through the 22nd. Under the music direction of Corrado Riveras, the orchestra will play works by Elgar, Walton, Bartok, as well as Brahms Symphony No. 1. Information and an event schedule available at artisphearfestival.org. The Fayetteville Public Library will launch its second annual Mountain Street Music Stage Series on Sunday. The concerts this year, like last year, will be each Sunday afternoon in June and will be free. The 2012 season opens Sunday at 2 with A Fiddler's Dream. Jonathan Trawick will bring several of his friends who play fiddle tunes steeped in Ozark tradition to the stage with him. Jonathan has done much over the past few years to promote fiddle music in Arkansas, despite the fact that he doesn't play the instrument.
It's interesting. I grew up around it, but I guess my dad plays the fiddle and is an Arkansas State fiddle champion, and his dad was a self-taught fiddle player, and he became an Arkansas State fiddle champion as well. So I kind of grew up around it, but, you know, growing up, it's kind of not cool to do what they do. So I played sports and all that, and But I started playing probably when I was about 20, maybe 19 or so, and just fell in love with it.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Conway.
And so what will people on this first Sunday in June hear and see at the library?
Well, they'll hear a lot of good fiddle music. I've got some friends joining me, one of whom is currently a member of the Sons of the Pioneers. He's also played with Sleep at the Wheel and Steve Warner and Red Steigall and Michael Martin Murphy, among countless others, of course. He's a world champion fiddle player and Texas State champion, and I'm excited to have Ricky Bowen with me. That's his name. Also have Cortland Ingram. He plays with the Presleys. He plays fiddle for the Presley Country Jubilee up in Branson. Mm-hmm. Allison Williams, who's from this area, has just moved back. She used to be she formed a band called the Forge Mountain Diggers, which were a very successful old-time group when she lived back east, and was featured on BBC's Folk America program. She'll be playing also Derek Lynn, who I've played with before in a old-time trio called the Hobnobbers, and me and Derek kind of play around a little bit. Derek's played with several bands and played on the Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour, and been a featured artist out at the Winfield, the Walnut Valley Festival out in Winfield with some other bands that he's played in. So we're just going to play old time and folk, bluegrass. I think of it kind of as roots music, and we'll play some swing, Bob Wills influenced stuff, and do some original material as well, and we're just going to have a ball.
It seems very inclusive. You know, some instruments no less enjoyable, but you, the audience, are there to listen. It seems a fiddle seems to invite participation, whether it's other people playing instruments or dancing or something.
I think I would agree with that. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you can play anything. It's adaptable. You can play. It doesn't matter if you're playing, you know, Bach or Paganini, or if you're playing old obscure fiddle tunes from various parts of the country, or if you're playing jazz or, you know, bebop or, you know, rock, you know, music, violin, you know, rock stuff like Mark Wood, kind of stretching the genre that way, and Jean-Luc Ponty and some of those guys. So
you do a lot to promote old-time fiddle, or just fiddle music, don't you?
Well, I enjoy it, and I've always grown up, my mama always told me to do what I enjoy, and so I enjoy fiddle music so much, I just feel like everybody should enjoy it too. I don't know. So, Fiddlin' Arkansas is an organization that kind of my brainchild, I guess, alter ego or whatever, and I run the basically that's become a platform through which I run the Arkansas Pickin' and Fiddlin' Championships each October. It's held down in Little Rock. I've also created a program called the Master Fiddler Series, which I bring, you know, nationally renowned and just world champion class world-class musicians through, and we do workshops, private lessons, and performances for you and for me, because I love it.
So you've told us who will be there. You've told us who will be there on Sunday. What will it be? Everybody together, kind of handing off? What? Any idea of a set list or anything yet?
It's just going to be a conglomeration of our music, fiddle heavy, because I love the fiddle. You know, we're going to do some original material that I've written, and some fiddle tunes. We'll do some swing tunes. If any of you like to dance, please join us. If I didn't have to sing or play guitar, I'd dance with you. Maybe I will anyway. Just come, I'll dance with you. yeah.
So you started playing the guitar at 19 or 20?
That's right, yes, sir.
Remember what the first few songs that you learned on the guitar were?
When I first started playing guitar, my sole purpose, I grew up playing baseball, and I wasn't. When I got into college, I wasn't playing baseball anymore, and I played catch with Dad all the time, and didn't have that. So I guess I learned guitar because Dad played fiddle, and he was going to these, you know, there used to be a couple fiddle contests that he would go to, and you need a guitar player, so show me the chords, and, you know. So that's kind of how it got started, just to be around Dad, I guess. And, you know, I'd pick up the guitar, you know, a week or two before the fiddle contest and learn the chords or go up there with a chord chart and hope I don't mess him up, you know. But, yeah.
Did you play baseball for the Wampus Cats?
I did. I played for them and, yeah. Don't hold it against me.
No. What's more satisfying then? Writing a song that you think's really going to be enjoyed by an audience, or hitting a great line drive down the line?
Oh, man. Growing up, I just absolutely love and was ate up with baseball, as they say. Absolutely loved it. And now, I still love baseball. I'm so excited. I'm headed to Texas with my uncle next week, and I'm getting to get to go see the Rangers play. Super stoked about that.
Yeah.
Josh Hamilton and all those guys. I love baseball. You know, there's nothing like music either. You know, it's just wonderful. Three-part harmony. There's only, you know, there's nothing like singing three-part harmonies, and other things, and writing a tune and just enjoying a tune. There's kind of this groove that when you're playing with other players, and it's different, you know, because every one of us are different. Even if music is written on a page, we're looking at it, we're not going to play it the same way. The timing will be slightly different just because it's a representation of who we are, or I hope it is. I think it should be. But you know, and so there's nothing more fun to me than going and getting with a fiddle player or other musicians and just playing. It's a communication with each other, and we're having fun, and you feel that, and you know that.
Where can people learn more about what you're involved in, if they want to know more about fiddling?
Facebook, Twitter, fiddlinarkansas.com. Is the website. I'm also on Jonathan Trawick on Facebook and Twitter as well. I also have a Reverb Nation account, reverbnation.com/Jonathan Trawick. It's kind of a mouthful, but yeah, Facebook would be a wonderful – I use that tool a lot.
All right.
So
first Sunday in June, which – wait, let me get – so June 3rd.
June 3rd.
And it's free.
Free.
You're kicking off the series.
Thanks to the Fayetteville Public Library.
Jonathan Trawick and several of his fiddle-playing friends will be at the Fayetteville Public Library Sunday afternoon from 2 until 4 to begin this year's Mountain Street Music Stage Series. The performance is free, and it's open to the public. For more information about the Every Sunday in June series, you can go online to faylib.org.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On tonight's show, I will feature music you'll be able to hear at the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series. The Aaron Goldberg Trio is the first concert of the season. We'll also hear music from Bill Evans, Virginia Mayhew, Charlie Hayden, Hank Jones, Stanley Jordan, and much, much more. Tune in Friday night at 10 p.m. for Shades of Jazz.
The Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 1st of June, 2012. It's the birthday of Dante Alighieri, born in Florence, Italy, in 1265. At least we think so. Nobody knows for sure. We do know that Dante met his great love and muse, Beatrice, when he was about 9 years old. Love at first sight. 3 years later, he was promised in marriage to someone else, but that didn't stop him from writing about Beatrice in his poetry. She was, he said, his main reason for living. He had political aspirations, and because the law held that public officials had to be a member of one of the guilds, Dante became a pharmacist. He was opposed to the political power of the Vatican in Florence, and he lost that battle and was exiled to Rome. And there, with his fortunes left behind, Beatrice now dead, Dante had nothing but poetry to devote himself to, and it was then towards the end of his life that he began work on his Divine Comedy. He chose to write the poem in colloquial Italian rather than Latin, which had been the language for Western literature for more than 1,000 years. And it was the first epic poem in Western literature in which the author served as the main character. He died of malaria shortly after he finished it at the age of 55. It's the birthday of the poet who wrote, "I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea in the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by." John Masefield, born in Ledbury, England, 1878. And it's the birthday of the linguist and translator C.K. Ogden, born Fleetwood, England, 1889. He was a founder of the Cambridge Magazine, which published George Bernard Shaw and Thomas Hardy, John Masefield, and Virginia Woolf, G.K. Chesterton. At the time of the First World War, he translated books from French and German into English. He wrote a book called The Meaning of Meaning, The Influence of Language on Thinking. And he created a language called Basic English, a simplified version of English, a vocabulary of just 850 words, only 18 of which are verbs, which he thought would improve communication and help to achieve world peace. George Orwell at first was in favor of basic English and then changed his mind and made fun of it in his novel 1984 as the model for newspeak. Here's a poem for today by Richard Wilbur, Blackberries for Amelia. Fringing the woods, the stone walls, and the lanes, old thickets everywhere have come alive, their new leaves reaching out in fans of five from tangles overarched by this year's canes. They have their flowers, too, it being June, and here or there in brambled dark and light are small five-petaled blooms of chalky white, as random clustered and as loosely strewn as the far stars, of which we now are told that ever faster do they bolt away, and that a night may come in which, some say, we shall have only blackness to behold. I have no time for any change so great, but I shall see the August weather spur berries to ripen where the flowers were, dark berries, savage sweet, and worth the wait. And there will come the moment to be quick and save some from the birds, and I shall need two pails, old clothes in which to stain and bleed, and a grandchild to talk with while we pick. Blackberries for Amelia by Richard Wilbur from his collected poems, published by Harcourt and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. iPad users can download the three most recent issues of Poetry Magazine, celebrating its centennial in 2012, at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Written by Holly Vanderhaar, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
KUAF is supported by Greenhouse Grill, featuring a seasonal menu of organic, locally grown produce and all-natural meats, plus organic beer and wines. Serving brunch and featuring live music each Sunday until 2 p.m. Located at 481 South School in Fayetteville's Mill District and on the web at greenhousegrill.com. KUAF is also supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture. Hard to believe there's still other activity going on this weekend, but there is. War Eagle Appreciation Day is tomorrow, Withrow Springs State Park in Huntsville. Activities include a family-friendly canoe float on War Eagle Creek, plus food, Jed Clampett, and more. If you'd like more information, you can call Withrow Springs State Park, their number, 559-2593. The Kings River Watershed Partnership will hold its second river cleanup of the year tomorrow. If you want to participate, you should meet tomorrow morning at 8 at Kings River Rapids LLC. That's on Highway 143, just west of the Grandview Bridge. The cleanup will be followed by a cookout and live music by Southern Zephyr. If you'd like to know more about that, kingsriverwatershed.org. And the documentary Fork Over Knives, the movie that can save your health, will be presented Sunday afternoon at 2 at 2000 Louisville and Jenny Lind in Fort Smith. Refreshments served, followed by a wheat milling and bread making demonstration by Cindy Howe. It's free, but seating is limited. To pre-register, 629-5502. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. This is KUAF, 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Dover. I'm Kyle Kellums, backed up by the best team in public radio. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great weekend.